Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'll just let the folks know I don't know anything about this meeting. I wasn't notified about it.
Ms. Meese had indicated a desire at the last meeting. I had Mr. Jarrett, Mr. Snow, indicate that they felt it was appropriate. Reach out to see if there are other council members of the same mind. When I got to five, I quit calling. Five is what the code would indicate is required.
If you'll remember, we had yet another special called meeting of the Milton City Council on Monday. This one, an uncertain topic. It actually wound up having to be about the city clerk, Dawn Molinaro, and whether to continue her employment. And as we reported on Tuesday, they decided on a 4-4 split with the mayor tie-breaking for 5-4 to keep her. But it was close. It was tense. There we had major internet problems with the stream, and I wasn't the only one experiencing it. So the first hour of this meeting I had not watched until yesterday. Oh, my God. It was even worse. The first hour was even worse than the second hour. So we know the outcome, but how we got there was, as always, entertaining. Here you have Mayor Heather Lindsay saying at the meeting, "We're here at this meeting. I'm running this meeting. I have no idea what this meeting is about or why we're here." Which is not the standard way to do things. And you had Randy Jorgensen, the city manager, saying, "Well, we had five members of city council who wanted to have this meeting. And when I got to five people, I stopped making calls." Which, of course, the flip side of that is, what about the other three members of council? What about the mayor? Should they not have been informed? One of the sticking points over prior meetings was the fact that the mayor, for example, called not one, not two, but three different special called meetings over Alex Andrade, canceling the first two, following through with the third. And in every case, nobody really knew officially what it was all about. This ongoing pattern of calling meetings and not being transparent about the purpose of them or the backup materials is an issue in the city of Milton. But it's a bit of hypocrisy for the mayor to be upset about not being transparent and disclosing when she also embraced that same pattern. But I would say that also a bit of hypocrisy by the people who called the meeting, complaining about her not calling, that about her not being transparent, and then them not being particularly transparent about it. This one, why can't it wait? Well, she asks Randy Jorgensen.
Who decided that it couldn't wait until the regularly scheduled meeting of Tuesday
there? There are some current concerns based upon occurrences internal to the organization and the filing of grievances of a hostile work environment. I won't go into detail, but it would appear that there's some liability potentially on the part of the city, having had other employees indicate a desire to take similar acts. It was my desire to limit that liability.
So we have the known issues with City Clerk Dawn Molinaro, including, you know, why she decided to write this narrative of the events and then give that to members of the media, myself included, when that is not a public record. That is her thoughts on the events as opposed to emails, text messages, you know, call logs, you know, documents, things like that. And that was just one issue. Then you had that email that she had sent to Scott Collins, in which she talks about how awful Ed Spears is and how, you know, there's corruption in the city council, and she's, you know, hoping that he can come, you know, fix it, remedy it, whatever. So you've got a couple of things. And then, as Randy's hinting at here, you've also got apparently some kind of an HR complaint for a hostile workforce against Dawn Molinaro. That's got to go through a separate kind of process. But he's saying with that, and with all these other swirling issues, the city council members wanted to have this meeting to consider whether to continue her contract. Mayor Heather Lindsay continuously escalating in the meeting how upset and frustrated she was about not being consulted, not being informed, and having no idea why they're there and why she's running a meeting that she doesn't even know what it's about.
Did you think about letting me know or the city clerk know that you were setting this?
As a matter of fact, I did, but I felt it was important to the process to simply act.
Yeah, so he could have told her. He could have, you know, given her a heads up, given the other city council. And this became a big sticking point in the meeting. And another question is, you know, why not wait till next Tuesday? And his answer is, these problems seemed to me to be pressing. And since it only takes five members of council to call a meeting like this, you know, Roxanne Meese had asked for one in the Monday meeting about this topic exactly. Jeff Snow and Casey Powell had indicated they wanted the meeting. He contacted Jason Vance and Matt Jarrett. I might have one of those names in the wrong category. But in any case, when he got to five, he stopped calling. Now, of course, if he'd have called Mike Cusack, if he'd have called Marilyn Farrow, they would have said no, 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 hell no. But it wouldn't have mattered. They were essentially outvoted. Gavin Hawthorne, nobody knows for sure what he would have voted on it. But in any case, they went ahead with the meeting.
Don't know if I'm alone in this, but I don't understand what the purpose is tonight, sir.
I can elaborate on the purpose. I think there were expressions made of corruption and collusion on the part of the council by a council employee. I believe there are three people in the charge of the council. I don't think that there's a surprise to anyone who serves the council as it relates to why this discussion is occurring.
Now, I will say this. I appreciate and I admire Randy, but he was making this a little bit harder than it needed to be about what the purpose is. He could have just come out and said, well, the purpose of this meeting is to figure out whether council wants to do anything regarding the city clerk, Don Molinaro. And he just kept not really wanting to say that until Heather Lindsay would kind of pry it out of his hands. But that was the purpose of the meeting, as he was getting at there. Only three people report directly to council. He can't discipline the city clerk. She doesn't work for him. Okay, he can't, just like he couldn't discipline Alex Andrade. So the only relevant authority here would be city council. The only remedy for issues surrounding the city clerk would be to call a meeting of the city council, because they're the only ones that have authority. Oh, but Heather was not happy about this.
I don't agree that the way this was set up is consistent with the ordinance. I don't think that the purpose is clearly defined. It's a mandate. It shall be clearly defined. And I don't know what it means when it says action council discretion. I don't know if that means there's just going to be a discussion or if there's going to be some action proposed. And so I disagree that this meeting has been properly called. And I assume it's going to go forward regardless of my disagreement, because five people have asked you to do it.
So I'm again it. We should be again it. It's not appropriate, even though it is. And, you know, I can't stop it. So here we go. And then this was the, you know, so far it's just a little bit of disagreement, right? So far. This is where things start to get fun.
I would ask that the IT department assist me with my request that I have this meeting, two copies of this meeting on a thumb drive, two thumb drives, and I can provide the thumb drives, because I will be sharing this meeting with the state attorney's office and the attorney general if it seems appropriate at the conclusion of this meeting to do so.
I am going to the parents. I am going to the state attorney. I'm going to the attorney general. I might be going to anybody I can go to complain about this meeting, implying, of course, that the reason to do that would be that the meeting is an illegal meeting, is a violation of, you know, the public meetings rules, sunshine law, ethics, conflict of interest. I don't know, but she says in the beginning of the meeting, hear ye, hear ye. I want a copy of these meetings on thumb drives. I want it put in my pocket. I want a bodyguard and an escort so that when I go to the AG and the SA, they will listen to me. Now, here's what's interesting. You know, she asks specifically the attorney, Alex Andrade, you know, well, are you okay with this meeting? Well, yeah, I mean, of course he is, right?
Mr. City Attorney, are you in agreement with this going forward as it's noticed?
Oh, yes, Mayor.
Well, the city attorney has so advised this council, so I assume they will proceed on their advice, on his advice.
I'm not sure what else she expected him to say. The back and forth between her and Alex continued throughout the meeting about what was appropriate and not to be done. But again, this was the repeated theme from the unincluded parties, okay? Particularly Mike Cusack, Marilyn Farrow, and most loudly, Heather Lindsay.
I will just say the public and the council deserve to know the truth, Mr. Jorgensen, that you have been deeply involved in a lot of things going on in the background. I assume there will be some discussion about some of those things, and I will speak to those things if they come up tonight.
So she continually mentions Randy, calls him out, says he's responsible. Remember, she's very, very close with Don Molinaro. When Scott Collins' bid to be the city manager fell apart, she and Don went to her house, to Heather's house, to make a call to him to try to rescue his employment, because they didn't feel like they could trust the overhearing ears at City Hall. Like, that's the level of dysfunction and distrust that we're at. which is a relevant fact to keep in mind as other things happen. Now, one thing I thought was kind of interesting is there was a point a little bit later on in the meeting, and I'm just normally try to go a little bit more in order than this, but there was a point later on where things started to get, you know, pretty heated, and in the process, you had, I mean, like allegations of sunshine violations. I'm just telling you, this is the warm-up, okay? We'll cover this more beginning of next hour at 7 o'clock, but I want you to hear this in connection with the prior clip about going to the state attorney's office and the attorney general's office.
Okay. Well, we couldn't have a discussion with each other outside of this meeting, sir. So the fact.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I got to back up just a second because it was funny when Mike Cusack, he was upset that they didn't get asked about this meeting. And he seemed to think that it was important to ask city council, all of them, before the meeting so that they could maybe persuade each other not to have the meeting. I'll let him say it, and I'll explain why this is weird.
I'm just amazed. You know, last week when I was talking about the city attorney, we talked, a comment was made by two members of council that there was a witch hunt going on. Well, surprise, surprise, this is exactly what this is. If we're going to have a meeting about the city clerk's future employment, we all, eight of us, should have been included in that meeting because maybe something I would say or something Miss Marilyn would say or Gavin may have said may have changed your mind on what you're doing, right? You may have said, wait a minute, he's right. This is this.
Do you think that outside of a regular meeting that the other city council members would be able to discuss and negotiate with each other about an issue like this? Do you understand what the Sunshine Law means? Now, I still have an outstanding pending records request for his call logs and his text messages with Scott Collins that has still not been fulfilled. Messages and call logs that I know the call logs exist, and I want to know who called whom because he keeps claiming one thing that I think is not accurate. The other is the text messages that I have reason to believe there are far more than just the ones that we've been disclosed so far. He seems to think that it's only public record when he says it is. No, when you engage in the activity and create the record, it's a public record, sir, regardless of it being on your personal phone. But now he seems to think that they should be navigating and negotiating with each other about voting issues and persuading each other outside of a meeting, and that's why he's upset that they didn't talk to them about it. I mean, that's weird. So that's what brought this comment on.
Okay. Well, we couldn't have a discussion with each other outside of this meeting, sir. So the fact that
Correct.
You could say something to change my mind would not have happened because we're not allowed to discuss outside of the sunshine.
Exactly, but you all discussed it without the total council.
I mean, I don't know if you understand that because it seems like there's a lot of discussion outside the sunshine between the mayor and some of you. So I'm sorry.
That is absolutely
well,
untrue.
Excuse me, Mr. Howell. Me.
Hey, if everyone else can levy accusations and decide
absolutely.
To do what they want to do.
Me of violating the law here, sir?
I'm saying that that's what it seems. And if since you have no qualms accusing other people of it, then I'm allowed to say what I want.
I haven't accused anyone of violating
all
the law.
I said is that we all
questions of your employee, the city manager, and how he did this.
Yes, ma'am,
asking
you did.
And
just to pause for a second, you haven't accused anybody of breaking the law? You literally opened the meeting by saying you're going to take the copy of this meeting of the state attorney and the attorney general because you think this meeting is itself illegal. I don't know what you forgot about what happened about 20 minutes prior to this, but okay.
Questions does not accuse you of anything, sir.
Well, okay. You maintain that.
I'm just saying that we all should have been included on this.
Maybe we all should have come over to the mayor's house and had a discussion.
Well, let's be flippant here and let's be unprofessional. Okay.
I'm not being unprofessional.
Oh,
I'm stating my perceptions. Which I'm allowed to do, just like you. I'm not
Absolutely.
Begrudging your perception, sir. I'm stating mine.
Oh, my heart. Now, John, you live in Milton.
I really didn't want to admit it. After that.
How proud are you of your local government?
Oh, man.
This this installment of Kindergarten Melodrama Theater has been brought to you by Abused Music. Oh my God, there's so much more. There's so much more. I thought I was done with this. I really did. And you know the real problem with all of this is that the business of the city is not getting done.
Nope.
The staff are in just tears every day. They don't want to come to work. Nobody wants to work in this environment. And good luck finding your city manager or any other vacancies that open up. So, man, But as I said before, I would love for the drama to all be over and everybody to kumbaya get along. It just does not seem like we're headed anywhere in that direction because this is ugly, awful, and really a bad look for a city that has so much going for it, the city of Milton. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, amazed. I'm Andrew McKay.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies, for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z's Sleep plus Next Day Energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
When he reached the New World, Cortez burned his ships. As a result, his men were well motivated.
Born to rock around the clock. You can't say I'm not. And in case you forgot, I'm the king. Of rock.
Where else in the known universe would you get Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October back-to-back with Run DMC? Just where ever would you find this? 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, stripes and plaids. That's what I do. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David, just first question before we get to your news stories. Do you ever cease to be amazed at what passes for governmental function in the city of Milton?
No, it astounds me each and every week.
You'd think we'd get to a place where we're like, that's not surprising. Nope. Well, every time.
Like you mentioned, though, Milton has so much good going for it.
Milton's a great town.
Yes.
People love Milton, and rightly so. There's so much right in Milton. And I would not say that in that category is the functioning of at least the political arm of the government. So.
Maybe we should double check with Scott Collins, make sure he's really sure he didn't want this.
Yeah, let's call him and ask him what he thinks.
former President Donald Trump is due to be arraigned this afternoon in the nation's capital on four counts related to his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Special Counsel Jack Smith says his office plans to push for a speedy trial. An Oregon man is in custody after a woman says that he kidnapped her and held her captive in his garage. The woman says she was working as a prostitute in Washington State when she was abducted. She claims she was assaulted and held in a makeshift prison cell made of cinder blocks and was finally able to escape. Crazy
and she like
story.
Punched her way through a screen door or something like that.
Yes.
He took her like 400 miles away. This guy has been operating in multiple states under multiple different names. They have an open call for anybody who thinks they might have been a victim. I mean, it's crazy. You remember the, was it Cleveland where the guy held those three women for like 20 years in his basement
right.
and then
yes.
they climbed out one day and we're like, what in the world? And it just seems like, well, that was not the only case, right? That's just, it's amazing. Sorry, go ahead.
And actress and former Scientologist Leah Remini is now suing the Church of Scientology. She filed a lawsuit yesterday. She says the church has stalked, harassed, threatened, and intimidated her going all the way back to 2006. She's asking for a jury to award damages for economic and psychological harm.
Yeah, you know how when people leave like a relationship and sometimes they leave it on kind of good terms and, oh, they're great, it just didn't work out for us. That's not how people leave Scientology. Not typically. It's not just the amicable breakup, you know? It's not, everything's fine. It's usually messy.
Yeah, for sure.
David, thanks so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. We got a text in here. Somebody says, regarding the city manager position in Milton, I did see a guy on the roadside holding a sign that said, needs work, will do anything. Perhaps a fit. Yesterday cracked me up. We were talking about the NOAA proposed rules for the slow boating and no night boating through the Rice's Whales portions of the deep water in the Gulf. And somebody said, I don't know why this is hard. Let's just, you know, give it to the city of Milton to figure out. Y'all are snarky, and I like it. So I think we might have cultivated that. David, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Florida State says they want to stay with the ACC. We'll tell you more after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's third arraignment is today in Washington, D.C. The indictment accusing him of trying to steal the 2020 election says he told Vice President Mike Pence, you're too honest, for not going along with his part of the plan.
Which would have resulted in the issue being turned over to the House of Representatives, and literally chaos would have ensued.
Pence on Fox needs more donor support to qualify for the first Republican presidential debate. The FBI is looking for more victims of a man they say kidnapped a woman in Seattle and took her to Oregon.
The woman escaped. Special FBI agent in charge, Stephanie Shark.
The woman fought for her life, beating the doors and the walls of the cell with bloodied hands.
Authorities believe there may be more victims of Ngozi Zuberi to find because he's lived in 10 states over the last 10 years.
Fox's Kevin Uretsky. Zuberi was arrested in Reno, Nevada. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning. If things don't drastically change with the ACC and their TV rights deal, it's not a matter of if, but it's when Florida State leaves. That's the message yesterday from their Board of Trustees meeting.
The deficit between us and the school down the road, not to mention a bunch of schools north of us, right? We're surrounded by schools that are going to have a $400 million advantage. And that's $400 million they're going to be able to invest into all of their athletic programs. Not to mention, it's $400 million they don't have to go out and raise.
Trustee member and former quarterback Drew Weatherford says what the university receives annually dwarfs in comparison to the SEC and Big Ten schools. The ACC's media rights deal with ESPN does not expire until 2036. While Skanska losing the battle in their effort to limit their liability for damages caused by their barges in Hurricane Sally. More from News Radio's Joe Ford.
According to the PNJ, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta ruled against Skanska's attempt to limit their liability to $1.2 million. Skanska had tried for that amount based on a provision in maritime law. However, the court ruled 3-0 that Skanska was negligent in preparing for the hurricane. That ruling backed up District Court Judge Lacey Collier's ruling in 2021. Now, unless there's an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, the dozens of lawsuits filed on behalf of businesses and residents can move forward. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Well, when it comes to fiscal responsibility, Florida is the standard bearer. That's according to Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. He was responding to a report that the Fitch Credit Rating Agency has downgraded the United States from a AAA to AA+. DeSantis says that's the result of frivolous spending and ballooning national debt for programs like the CARES Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. He says that Florida has run large budget surpluses and paid off 25% of its state debt. The Escambia County Planning Board denied a request this week from a resident to rezone his property to agricultural so he could keep several farm animals. Michael Hazelbaker says he purchased a 20-acre property on Old Novak Road, believing he could have animals and homestead the property, but it turns out the property was zoned as low-density residential. Hazelbaker now facing code violations for having goats, horses, cows, pigs, and donkeys on the property. Several neighbors attended the meeting, asked the board not to approve that zoning change, though, claiming Hazelbaker had brought trouble to the neighborhood. They say Bobby Lee Sales, that's a woman who made headlines earlier this week after an arrest for allegedly impersonating an FDLE officer, lives at that property with him and has caused issues with the neighbors. The decision now going to the Board of County Commissioners for a final decision. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3.
Happy Thursday. Another hot day. Heat advisory in effect across all of Northwest Florida from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Highs once again back into the middle 90s. Feels like temperatures could be as high as 110 through the afternoon with not much out there in terms of rain chances to cool us off. Same deal on Friday. Could be even hotter on Friday with highs back into the mid to upper 90s and feels like temperatures could even go above the 110 mark. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
79 in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, and 76 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 5th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital is Friday, August 25th, Center Court at Cordova Mall, presented by Hanto and Clark.
Wind Creek Casino and Hotel will match donations up to $20,000.
All the money stays right here.
Hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
Thank you to our HOPE sponsors this year, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, International Paper, and Penn Air Credit Union.
Thank you.
Proceeds will benefit the life-saving programs and services at Studer Family Children's Hospital. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 738, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, defendable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and every Wednesday this time we talk to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good
Looking
to have you.
Looking forward to it, as always.
Oh, good. Hey, first thing I wanted to ask you about, I knew, you know, you had been working on this idea of bringing in a parking consultant, Philip Olivier, if I'm saying his name correctly, who used to work with Premier, and I think I understand what the goal is here, but you tell me from your perspective, what are you trying to accomplish with him?
Yeah, I mean, let's lay the groundwork that what we all know right now is parking isn't where it needs to be. And, you know, for a long time, we've kind of said blue is us and red is them. And when I get a lot of emails, I continue to say that. we don't really have much control over those premium red lots. So what my ultimate goal is certainly get to a better place than where we are right now, which is should be pretty easy to do. And that's where the private lot owners have charge what they want. They can boot if they want. and the enforcement is handled not as cleanly as ours, we've got to get to a better place than that. So we're going to have an analysis of our current parking, you know, what should be charged, what shouldn't be charged on the blue spaces, as well as potentially look at a new app on our side and try to get one of the best apps in the country that I would say is something that we can improve on in the blue lots. And then look for opportunities to continue to grow inventory and more to come with that. But at the end of the day, the more simple we can make this for people, a lot of times I get emails about, and the first email starts with, oh, it's expensive. Well, I know that's not the case because we only charge 50 cents an hour. So I know that's not the case. But what people usually mean is it's difficult for me to use.
Right.
Or I got a ticket one time and I'm never coming back. And as I told a Rotary Club yesterday, you know, when a visitor leaves after getting a $90 ticket in a private lot, they don't delineate between whether that was the mayor or not.
Right, that's right.
Or whether that was the city or not. All they do is they go back home and they say, I had a bad experience.
I'm tired
of saying that's not my job.
Just one thing I want to add. There's a third reason that people get frustrated, and that is the, we'll call it the Andrew McKay effect. I have to pay it all? You know, like, that's another reason that people get frustrated. But go ahead. You were saying it's right. They don't distinguish. They get upset, and then they don't come back.
Right, exactly. They don't. So we the city and the mayor are in the worst case scenario, which is we get all the blame for what happens. 95% of the complaints come, at least 90%, in the private lots, and we have to deal with it. And as I've told private lot owners, we are eroding the experience of our community, and I can't just sit alongside anymore and say that's not my job. I mean, we've got to do something, and so that's the reason we're doing this. Is we're getting an expert who's done this before that understands really all sides of this issue, both public and private and everything else, and we're going to get something better than we have now.
So the idea is what I call the outside eyes effect, which is somebody who's not in the middle of it but who has experience who can come in and, you know, look at what your company does and say, why on earth do you do that? You know, can we come up with a better way?
Right.
Exactly. So I did have a question posed to me. It's an allegation, I guess, of sorts, and I think I know the answer would be, but I wanted to pose it to you because apparently this is a rumor running around, is the folks that are being hired, it's a brand-new consulting company. They don't really know anything. This is just some kind of crony friends of the mayor kind of thing. I'm asking you because somebody asked me.
Sure. Well, I've never spoken on the phone with Mr. Olivier at any point until this process started, so we aren't – it would be difficult to say we're very good friends, but – but what it is it's someone who understands all sides of this, has been on the private lot side of things. He certainly has been in the parking game for a long, long time. And he has specific, unique experience to local. He's worked in this market. So there isn't a real long list of people that can say that, you know, that really understand all sides of this and understand the locality and the uniqueness of our city. So, it's a no-brainer for us, and I know he's going to bring us a lot of knowledge that things that we wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah, and I personally like the idea of hiring the enemy. I mean, you know, you hired the red lot guy to see if we can't find a solution. Because not just because he understands, but because he might see unique ways of solving the problem from within that culture that, you know, you may not see as an outsider or not. So
correct.
I appreciate that as well. Go ahead.
One other thing, you know, I've heard, well, hey, this is a premium. Someone works for him. He doesn't work for premium at this point. So, as you said, he has the knowledge, perhaps, of how private lots work, but he does not work for premium. So, some notion that, you know, lots are going to all go to premium or this or that. I mean, none of that is, you know, has any basis whatsoever.
And I would feel like I had done a disservice to my own self-importance if I didn't say this. You know, you could just try an experiment where we went with free parking again. Just saying as an alternative, you know? Anyway, I know it's not going to happen, but, you know,
you hit the radio on that idea.
No, but you did say something. You said there's more inventory to come. Should I anticipate that that's going to be of what happened like on Spring Street? You're going to find a street where you can do a little bit of a readjustment where you could create some spots because we don't need that. Is that the kind of thing you're looking at?
Exactly. Well, where should we be charging? Where should we not? I don't know that we've ever taken a holistic look at that. I think we said we charge here, then we haven't. So some, you know, there might be spaces that are free right now that will be charged. North Palafox is an example. I mean, do we charge there or do we not? But then on the flip side, there might be places we charge where we don't. You know, so So that's why we're doing this. When we optimize it, that's what.
And just, you know, again, as a citizen user, okay, I know you know this, but it might help to hear it from somebody else, is whatever the assessment, the survey, the comprehensive look decides to do, please just make one change and let it be for a long time. Because I think for me anyway, the frustration is, you know, they added paid parking on that one. I got to go over here. Oh, now they added paid parking on that one. Or they changed the hours. Yep. And it seems like it's this ever-shifting landscape that's as frustrating as the problem itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's also why we haven't made many. If you look, we certainly could have reasoned adding areas or change. Two-hour parking has been outdated for 30 years.
Yeah.
But I could go change that right now if I wanted to, but for that exact reason.
Good.
I want one shot at this, and that's why we're going to be meticulous about it. We're going to bring a consultant in and all that. So, I agree with you. I think that's our goal.
Mayor Reeves, we didn't really give much chance to at least mention this, but congratulations to the design team for the airport. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very excited about that because and that was one of the early things we wanted to get in, and we got that $2 million from FDOT to get going on that design. As we all know, anybody who's flown to the airport, I'm flying through there tomorrow, that we know how busy it is. It's bursting at the seams, really a process that probably we're overdue on. And so I'm very, very excited to see this design move forward. So really looking forward to that. And hopefully, if we keep working hard, and I'll keep going back to Washington as many times as I need to get the federal portion of the funding, that we need to be focused on getting this $70 million in order in the next 6 to 9 months. So when that design's done, we're ready to go.
Yeah, nicely done. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is we had ideas. Now we're not sure where we are, but I know you guys keep working on it. Where do we stand with the old Baptist property? Because when they move, which is soon, we don't yet have a solution for what to do with that land, right?
Absolutely. So, look, I think the Baptist Hospital, they're well aware. They've put a lot of work into the last couple of years what their obligation is when they leave in terms of doing what's best and what's right for the neighborhood and for the community. And certainly we're stepping in to be collaborative for that same reason, is to say, you know, here's a potential 50-acre parcel in the heart of our pretty small city in terms of square miles. You know, these kinds of parcels don't come along often. How do we ensure that what happens after they leave is something that's good, not only good for the community, but could be transformational for the community, depending on what we do there. So we've played an active role in that and having some conversations, and we actually just had a meeting with Baptist and with Senator Broxson last week, so that we've kind of all looked each other in the eye now. And, even my joke in the meetings, I said, you know, we've been talking, but it's probably time to start dating. And what I mean is, you know, we've got to start to really galvanize what this is going to be. If we go help, you know, potentially fund demolition with state dollars or federal dollars or grant dollars, those kinds of things. And of course, we've already played an active role in that already with getting a $5 million grant from CDBG. What does that look like? You know, is that how much of the property would the city get? All those kinds of things that need to be worked through. So I'm confident we're going to get there. But we've now reached the perfect time to really start to put pen to paper about what that looks like. So we're really all on the same page there, and that should be coming probably within the next 30 days.
Very good. Last quick question before we get to the lightning round. Graffiti Bridge, where are we at on getting a solution implemented?
Yeah, good question. So like anything else, you know, you peel back the onion and there's a couple more things to go that just are really back to your parking request, which is to try to do this all at once. That's what we're doing at Wayside. If you've driven by there, the boat launch parking lot was asphalt poured on dirt many years ago. So that's all busted up. We're looking at that train trestle that we were able to get approved in 2017. We also have some Skanska dollars coming in for the parking lot that they use at Wayside. And if you've been down to Wayside, that needs improvement as well.
Yeah.
So what we're moving forward with right now is a holistic design from basically the graffiti bridge down to Wayside. So we have the funding still in place for the chimes, as we call it.
Yeah.
But what we realized was there's about a 300-foot opening right there at Wayside. So where are you going to put them? And so we want to make sure that we design the whole thing with every piece of this in mind. So that's the only reason we put a mothball on that for now, is just so we're ready to go. We've got the funding for it, but we want to make sure we put those chimes in the right place. like they're not going to hit a boat or anything like that. So we're really looking at it more of the big picture right now.
Okay, so right now that's essentially on pause with no implementation date in mind. Is that fair?
Yes, that's fair. Pending the complete design of the whole wayside and all that structure, but we're moving forward with that.
I got you. Last thing, we always like to do a lightning round. First question for you: when you go get fast food, assuming you do, are you a drive-through or a go-into-the-counter?
Oh, definitely a drive-thru. Definitely. I mean, if I can order it on an app, even better.
All right, you're that guy. That's fine. Do you prefer to make a phone call or do you prefer to make a video call? Do you want the other person to see you and you can see them?
You know, I am a millennial, but I'm like the oldest millennial, so I'm still a phone call. I don't, you know, maybe I'm too self-conscious for the video call.
I'm the same way. I honestly am. When you get your hair done, do you want the barber, the stylist, to make small talk with you or to just do the work?
Small talk. It's a buddy of mine. I'm actually going at 9 o'clock. You must be following my schedule.
I swear I'm not stalking you.
Now, exactly. I'm going to be thinking about that now. But no, yeah, small talk. He's a friend of mine, so we usually catch him.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And last one is Blue Wahoos yesterday with NAS Pensacola CEO Terry Shashady Village. They gave him a bunch of call signs. So they're going to have a night out at the ballpark with a Ted Williams bobblehead. I love this promotion. It's fantastic. If D.C. Reeves had a call sign, what would his call sign be? And now it's not fair because you never get to self-assign.
Oh,
I should probably ask Alex what call sign he would assign you. But
Exactly. Yeah. I was just going to say, I probably wouldn't do it. I've already got a big head physically as it is, so you really wouldn't need like a bobblehead. You know, I'd have to. But I don't know.
They could just call you Bobble.
It's the first time you stumped me. I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll get a little bit of thought together. I'll talk with Alex and see if we can't come up with something. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of that's right. The mayor of Pensacola. As always, sir, thanks for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
By the way, just in case you were confused, I fell into a Grover Robinson habit there, which is, you know, whenever Grover's talking about people in his administration, former mayor, he would always refer to them by first name. Because I knew who he was talking about, but the audience doesn't. That Alex is his chief of staff, not Alex Andrade. So just in case you were wondering, you know, who we're talking about here. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are trying to make the decision about whether to sell or buy a house, like it's difficult to know whether it's interest rates and how those change, how the market is shifting, prices, are they going up, down, holding steady? What about your particular kind of house? Because, you know, prices might be going up on the $400,000 homes and the prices might be steady or declining on the $200,000 homes or the $300,000 homes. That's, you know, there's not like one just hegemonic market for everything. Like, things can be in different places. And you want to know, okay, and what would you be able to get for your home? Christina Leavenworth will know. She will know. If you're thinking about buying a home, same thing, especially if it's the first time, you want somebody in your corner who's really going to be an expert, understand the process, and make sure to navigate with you through all of the challenges that buying your first home can entail and help you to figure out whether this is a good deal for you or not. I mean, all of that, she does. She's great at it. But if you're just in the, well, we're thinking about it phase, and you're not sure, give her a call. And I know it's really common for people to say, look, I don't want to bother her. You know, she's busy. I don't want to use her time in case I'm not going to be. She doesn't mind. She likes talking to people. She actually told us the other day when she was on Pep Talk with Tammy Martin that she loves talking to people, loves meeting them, loves talking about real estate. She's kind of a nerd about it. She's obsessed about it in the good way, you know, the way you want somebody who you're going to buy professional services from, that she loves meeting people. And if there's no deal that comes out of it, that's fine. In fact, she doesn't mind, you know, telling you, I don't think maybe this is not the right time for you. That's good. She just wants to help folks. If a deal comes out, you know, 3 or 4 years later, fine. If not, fine. If a friend gets referred, fine. If not, fine. Like all of that. She just likes talking about real estate. So if you want to ask somebody who's eager, informed, and passionate about this subject, give her a call. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic?
Go to ProHealth.
Post-accident physical to access your PIP?
Go to ProHealth.
Drug test?
ProHealth has 7 locations.
Occupational testing?
Go to ProHealthFL.com.
Affordable lab work or primary care?
ProHealth has 7 locations.
An affordable medical weight loss program?
ProHealth is your answer.
Need a camp or a sports physical?
Only $40 at ProHealth.
ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment.
Just walk right in.
ProHealthFL.com.
Serving Pensacola for 35 years.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We happened to see a MiG-28 do a 4G negative dive.
Where did you see this?
That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Good morning, 556 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Let's go to the newsroom now. David Wayne is standing by with our headlines. He's ready to throw the paper at us and tell us what's going on in the world. David?
That's right, I am. The White House blaming the U.S. credit rating downgrade on former President Trump and the GOP. The credit rating agency Fitch lowered the U.S. credit rating from the highest AAA rating to AA+ yesterday. Several factors were cited, including a deterioration in standards of governance over the last two decades, and the White House blaming Republicans for cheerleading default on the national debt. Voters in Tennessee will be deciding in a special election today whether they should keep State Representatives Justin Pearson and Justin Jones in office. The two Justins were expelled from the legislature in Tennessee there after taking part in a protest for gun laws on the House floor. A third lawmaker narrowly escaped expulsion when that happened. And Governor DeSantis has agreed now to debate California Governor Gavin Newsom. An aide to Gavin Newsom says his office sent a formal request to Fox News last week with a proposal to debate DeSantis sometime in November. And it would have Sean Hannity moderating the 90-minute debate. So this will be interesting to see.
I'll watch that. And if you're DeSantis, this is smart. You know, when you think you're really the close to being able to challenge President Trump for the nomination, you know, maybe something like this, you don't go for it. But when he's been, you know, flailing basically over the, according to the polls, over the last month or so, hey, this is high profile stuff. And if you can make Gavin Newsom look dumb, you know, that's going to help you tremendously with the Republican base to, you know, think of you as a national candidate instead of just, you know, the Florida governor. So I will tune in. It'll be entertaining for sure. Hopefully useful, not just entertaining.
Absolutely.
Unlike the city of Milton. City council meetings. David, thanks so much for the update. So in all of sports, the question is, like, in, say, 5 to 10 years, what is football going to look like? Because you now have the ACC, like FSU and Clemson are, you know, thinking about leaving the ACC. Best guess, they probably land in the Big 12, right? Or I'm sorry, they probably land in the SEC. And then you've got like USC and UCLA are already leaving the Pac-12 to go to the Big 10. Oregon, Washington, Stanford, and Cal are also looking at leaving and going to the Big 10. It's just going to be those two super conferences eventually.
You're listening
and
to
everybody else in D1.
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A big loss for Skanska in an Atlanta courtroom yesterday. We'll tell you more about it after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3.